You are listening to Let's Go, the weekly anime podcast about weekly anime from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. So come along and hang with the Let's Go gang. It's Dwayne.
Hello.
And it's me, Brian. Niall, still in another country. You're still in a different country to me, anyway. You're normally in a different country to me. That's...
I know, but we're closer relative to where Niall is at the moment.
That is true, yes.
Mm. Opposite side of the planet, like.
Yes, I've been to your country. I've not been to the country Niall's in. And on this episode, we are covering anime that aired the week of the 3rd of September, all the way through to the 9th of September 2018. As you've been listening, compare this to last week's, you may hear I've got a bit more energy and I'm less croaky. Let's see how that holds out, because I was still feeling a little under the weather going back in the office today after working from home yesterday. Righty-ho, let's kick things off with Lupin the Third, Part 5, Episode 22, Answer Me, Zantetsuken. So we kind of get a big, there's like a gigantic clang as a plot twist is dropped quite early into the episode.
Yeah. I mean, like, you got to pause it to read that shit, but it's kind of doing that thing of, oh, you can't read this Twitter feed. It's going by too fast, that kind of thing. Having the profile going like, hey, you want to read his thing about his missing daughter, kind of prior marriage and shit. But obviously that comes up in the episode if you didn't read it.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's fine, and it kind of makes everything loop around, and it kind of makes Enzo, gives him a reason for why he's doing this.
Yeah, rather than just, I'm generically evil, it's a little...
Yes.
It kind of makes sense. It's like, yeah, obviously I want to eliminate countries and political barriers and the ability to not fucking identify criminals or missing persons, say. Yeah.
Yeah, and it also introduces, like, oh, him, Ling, his right-hand man, they've got a similar... bond between them as Lupin has with, in fact, maybe a better bond, because that's what all this episode's about.
They seem to, yeah, because I mean, like, we've seen that before where he kind of flipped off, he's like, oh, I'm not really the boss, I'm kind of like your man's the real brains behind the organization. So they have a different opinion of each other. It's certainly respect from your man Ling, but I'm not so sure it carries down, seemingly, so far anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to guess they both know where they stand, whereas the issue in this episode is essentially Goemon not knowing where he stands.
And obviously them playing that up for their benefit. Yeah.
And
I did like the plot twist, and we'll get to it, obviously, but I did like the way characters were aware of that, rather than them going like, oh! It was just like, no, I knew about it, I just fucking didn't want to bring it up, like, you know.
But also it plays into... The other thing this kind of examines is both Lupin's insincerity and his thrill-seeking.
Yeah, there's that, like, when your man said the thing of he sees you as part of his collection, and it's like, that sounds horrible, but then as you think about Lupin for any fucking seminars of time, he looks at the world very differently than normal people, you know?
Yes. And it's also because it's when he confronts Lupin with the thing about describing Goemon as Goemon is Lupin's underling, and Lupin's like, this is why people who don't understand the internet shouldn't be on the internet. Look, he's got ego.
It's even condescending. I mean, like, what he thinks he's doing is like, no, my old stupid friend, I'll show you how this works.
Yes.
He thinks he's helping him. He thinks he's being nice, but he's still doing it in a dickish way.
And he can't actually tell him how he really feels, which plays back to him not being able to tell Fujiko how he really feels in that earlier moment in the series.
Yeah. It's like he thinks he's doing his friend a favor, but he can't even say it as a friendly thing.
Yeah. And then there's more meta stuff with, obviously, the idea of, oh, Jigen's voice actor is the one who's been on the show the longest now, and so gets all the lines about questioning whether they're too old to be doing this anymore.
Yeah, what was it, like, thievery these days lacks a certain panache or something. I forget exactly the way he put it, but I was just like, yeah, it's all like tech and shit, there's no cool shootouts, and that's my jam.
My Hoover just fell over in the background. and Zenigata shows up, he's here to arrest Lupin.
His fucking relationship with Lupin is also everyone's relationship to Lupin has been put into question, which is great. They're like, why don't you just fucking arrest him? It's like, well, then his gang would just swoop in and save him. Why did you invite him here, basically? It's like, so I could catch them all at once.
Yeah, because this feels like, oh yeah, there's lots of time. He captures him all the time in the earlier series. But as he points out, because he's not capturing the rest of them, he keeps on escaping. Yeah.
No, what he's saying is logical, but it's the idea of, it's like, well, at least if you caught him, it wouldn't look like you're just spinning your wheels, like you're trying to get something done. You're making an achievement that is then taken away from you, but at least you're fucking achieving, because as it is at the moment, you're not progressing, I think it is. Like, he should be way beyond Inspector at this stage.
And then there's the bit where you don't want to think about too much about reality, because Enzo shows Goemon footage from various previous Lupin series.
That's all like film grain and shit, dude. It's like the digital technology makes it look different these days.
No, I'm saying, who was there to film it?
Yeah, I guess that's true, but it's weirdly like that this tech, yes. Maybe he's been using this technology on Lupin specifically for years.
Yes, but as we'll learn in a different show this week, we should not try and bring reality into these things.
Yeah. It's a CG recreation of Lupin and the lads' adventures. I don't fucking know.
Amy and Lupin get as far as Fujiko. They're about to rescue her. Then Goemon storms in, demands a duel, because...
Yeah, Enzo has convinced him to go, like, yeah, but... He's also using the truth meter of the app to kind of prove to him that Lupin doesn't see you as an equal or a rival or that kind of thing, just another part of his collection. And it's like, oh, and like what was it he said? Like, freaking, that you always find the truth through battle. And that was an A-ranked
Yes, and also thing. Whenever, he was also pointed out that, like, whenever you two have fought before, and that's where we get all these clips, Lupin's been holding back because they play on the idea that the reason Goemon's been sticking around all this time because he knows Lupin's really good at fighting, and one day he wants to fight him.
Yeah, even the Swordmaster he kind of hides out with for a bit, or the Weaponsmith, I should say. Yes. It's kind of like, so, when are you fighting that Lupin guy?
I think he's out of the comic or the show before as well.
I assume a lot of the shots we see of villains posting on Twitter is fucking...
Oh, yeah. There's some I've definitely... I think there's one in there we've done his TV movie on the podcast.
Then I'd have trouble identifying them all.
I recognized Melon in the preview for next week's episode, and I couldn't there's like three women female criminals in prison, and they look familiar. I can't remember if they're from this series, the previous series, or something else I've seen. I feel like I now have too much Lupin in my head, and there's still more I need to pour in, and it won't all fit.
But it's all valid, so it's fine.
The other thing I was curious, and I couldn't find out if anybody said this is the case, because when he's dueling Lupin, he eventually sees Lupin as himself, but in like an earlier...
Yeah, like he sees like an image of himself.
...style, and but he also sounds different. I wasn't sure whether they'd got In No Way Back to do Goemon's line for that one thing.
Okay. Like, I saw the old style, and I figured he was like fighting his old self, and that would obviously... fit into the theme they're going with,
He said, so I don't know whether it's his current voice actor doing more of an impression rather than the voice he currently uses for Goemon. So I thought, oh, he is still alive, so that would be a great thing to bring him back for a line. And he's come back and did a special within like the past 5 years, I think, or so.
That does sort of fit the narrative you're going with. Okay.
Yeah,
that would be cool, but...
Yeah, like he's almost like you'll slay his old self.
Because,
I really don't know where this is going, where this leaves Lupin at the end of the series, because it feels like the part of the theme is, like, these characters can't exist in these times, or maybe these times have to change to allow these characters to exist.
I'm wondering, like, one of the things I was wondering, the way it's constantly questioning the relationships and driving wedges between them and shit, and maybe they'll, like, have a happy old everyone gets together and fucking... fights crime the way, or commits crime the way they used to, and that's why they still work, because they still work together. Or will it like actually drive them apart in order to bring them back together in another season? That'd be nice, but I feel like that might be changing the format too much for Lupin.
I think it's Lupin's the only one who has to change his ways, essentially.
Yeah,
everyone else is gimmick still works in the modern day. Goemon can still slice things up with his sword. Jigen can, like, still shoot people. And Fujiko,
yeah, no matter how much hacking there is, you can still manipulate people, shoot, and assassinate. Those things are still relevant because you just get hired on the internet to do those things. That's all.
whereas, yeah, you see that Lupin has had to use more tech this time round. He's had to take on a teenage hacker to help him out.
Yeah,
it's fascinating. I really wonder where they're going to round things. And of course, this episode, again, it ends with Lupin getting killed.
That's certainly been a thing in this series, and I'm not, like, I'd be kind of annoyed by it if it wasn't for the general kind of quality of it and the questioning the form, and also coming up with brand new problems for the gang to deal with.
And the preview this time doesn't even play that you're going to believe that he's dead.
No, it's like, yeah, you get it now. It's just like, this is what we're doing. It's a deconstruction of Lupin, which means getting him fucked up at the end of a bunch of episodes.
Part of me, back in my head, is like, are they trying to figure out a way to transition Jigen and Lupin's voice actors out of those roles in a way that is a big tribute to them?
Like, have them go out blazing or something? Or?
Yeah, because obviously eventually they're going to have to... Well, Jigen especially is going to... Time is going to catch up to
the
guy who plays him. I could never remember his name. I feel really bad about that. And when I search for him, I just get the Naruto character called Jigen is the first thing. That's disgusting.
What? That's horrible.
So portrayed by voice actors.
There's like only two, isn't there?
Three, because there's the Fuma conspiracy, which has the one which has got all the random extra voice actors.
I mean, that makes it a lot easier than some Lupin characters, I guess. Still.
It is Kiyoshi Kobayashi. In both versions of the pilot film, he's voiced him to the today. Well, one exception is Fuma Conspiracy with Banjo Ginga.
Yeah, some licensing thing or something.
Yeah, or I think it was a budget. Yeah, it says budget concerns on Wikipedia. I think it was like, we can't afford to pay our regular actors. and how old is he now? He's currently 85. So let's be realistic. He's not going to be around forever.
Oh, unfortunately, which is like, because he's like easily my favorite character and my favorite voice on the show as well.
Yes, yeah. So if you've never seen the Detective Conan Lupin film, the one which was in the cinema, he's really good in that because they play off the age difference between him and Conan a lot.
Okay, that sounds fun. Wait, the perceived age difference or the actual age difference? Because both are
both.
Huge.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, weirdly, the adult Conan's voice would be... I've got to think he's a choice for Lupin. In the end. We shall see. I kind of see the current voice actor for Lupin... Because the main one, he died early, didn't he? So.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yasuo Yamada was the... And then Kenichi Kurita took over. He is only 60, so he can be around for at least another 25 years based on...
What's retirement age now? I feel like they pushed it back. He's good.
I was going to say, for anime voice actors, it's just keep on going till you're dead, apparently.
Yeah, fucking that's the way it is with a lot of the shit in the industry, unfortunately. Yeah,
But I think also, luckily, a lot of the ones who are in their 60s and plus... who are still working at that age probably can command better prices than...
At least not been fucked over like a lot of people are. Yeah.
When you think of the types of shows they're working on, they're on the big name shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's great. It's another great episode.
Yeah, and I didn't mind the Ami reveal because I was kind of hoping they'd go that way with it, and they went exactly that way with it, where she was entirely aware of it because she's fucking savvy enough.
Now, I learned...
Gives her a bit of agency.
This week that the first volume of the Blu-ray came with an extra episode.
Oh, okay.
Which is essentially Lupin the Third Wacky Races with various old Lupin characters. It's basically a sequel to the very first Lupin. It's like, is Lupin, because the very first episode is called Is Lupin Burning? I think this one's called Is Lupin Still Burning?
Okay.
Yeah, I watched a clip of it and I was like, yeah, come on, I can't wait. This better be on a Blu-ray release or later on Crunchyroll.
Yeah, if this is like a later release like they did with the
zombie one and whatever the other one was. Yeah.
If they do that, like, we'll probably have to talk about them on this show. I'm just going to have to keep an eye out on it. That sounds great.
Yeah, because I was looking up the name of the female cop who's in the next episode preview. I was like, she's Melencop, but Melencop's a man. And then I went and checked the Wikipedia. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, they changed him. They changed Melencop into this woman in the anime.
Oh, okay.
Whereas Melencop in the manga is another cop who chases after Lupin, but unlike Zenigata, he would be quite happy just killing Lupin as opposed to arresting him.
Oh, like a dirty cop kind of thing. Or dirtier.
Dirtier.
Yeah.
I don't think I've read enough of his appearances to get a good grip on him. But yeah.
Fair enough.
Anyway, he turned into a woman in the anime. And looks like they show up next week. Maybe just
like as a plot reason or like just
who
for the
knows
sake of
at
it.
This point. They make the amount of cameos they've had over the past two or three episodes.
Yeah, it's certainly a good time for Lupin fans, yeah.
Then, next on the list, we've got Mr. Tonegawa's Middle Management Blues. That can't be the right episode.
Rehearsal. I put the wrong title in there.
You put Cutlet in again.
I did! It's Rehearsal, because they're doing the rehearsal for the fucking Restricted Paper Scissor Rock. I think it's just Restricted Jonkin or whatever is what they call it. But anyway, it doesn't matter. And it's great that all the bits are arriving. They got the scoreboard, the boxes of cards have arrived, they got the specially made tables, and he's like, oh brilliant, let's give Tonegawa's like, brilliant, let's give it a lash, and he puts one of the cards in and he's like, that's the scoreboard didn't change, what the hell. And they're all like, and he's like, isn't there like supposed to be like a special chip in the card so that the scoreboard knows when it is? And it's like, no, there's nothing like that. And it's like, well, what's in the table? Then he pulls open the table and it's just like a big empty box. And he's like, so this is just paper and this is just wood. And that's just a scoreboard that you have to manually fucking change. The fuck is this? This is supposed to be high tech shit. And he kind of storms off like, I'm sick of your shit. And I think he kind of goes off in a huff in his office and he's like, ugh, I chewed him out a bit. We got fucking 2 weeks. We could go back to the manufacturer. We can probably sort this out. And he says, okay, I'll go back to them. But by the time he gets back to them, they're all in that big function room that they've used before in the show. Well, they all are. One of them is, and everyone else, as it's very clearly revealed, is like, they've been in those tables for the last 5 hours, so they're really going the distance. And Tony Guy was like, holy shit. I was like, go on, give it a go. So he slips the card in and the scoreboard changes. It's like, that's fucking brilliant. You guys have got balls, because you're only supposed to do the contest for like 4 hours, and they've already been in the tables 5 hours. And so he's really impressed, and he pops open one of the tables to congratulate them, and your man's inside playing a PlayStation on his gaming setup inside. Another guy has a little library built up, and if I knew those fucking spines, I feel like I know some of those fucking designs that I've seen in bookshops and everything. Another guy has a miniature cat cafe built into his box, and he's like, so he's halfway between being impressed with their gumption and their drive and the way they figured out this problem, and it's like, you just use this as an excuse to sit in a box for several hours fucking having a laugh and just literally counting cards is the only job you have to do. So it's like mad at them, but also, so he's stuck. He's vexed, I think the show describes it as. So then they have the rehearsal one, and they bring in the hires from the last episode, the Cutlets, as you can call them. And they're going to be playing the part of desperate people who have taken out too much loans and that kind of thing. And he explains this to them and they're like, right. But they're all doing it too friendly. They're like, would you like to play a game with me? Yes, I would. Rock. Scissors. Ah, you win. Here is your star. Thank you very much. Perhaps we will play again later. Yes, perhaps we may. And it's just like, no, you motherfuckers. This is the rehearsal. You gotta really get it into their heads. So Tonegawa's co-worker, Endo Yuji? I'm guessing he's a guy off Kaiji, but I don't really know Kaiji as well as I should at this stage. He shows up and he's like, I'll give these guys a seminar about how to be real fucking scumbags. And so he gives them a seminar, And he's like, I brought in the biggest scumbag I could fucking find just so you guys could learn off him. And it's a guy in a brown leather jacket, some patches on it, and kind of a mullet fucking thing going on. And it's like, oh my God, is it? No, it's some guy who looks like Kaiji. which was fucking great. Like, just like the most un-Kaiji face. No sharp angles at all in that face. And they ask him like obvious things. Like, so he gambled away the company money on pachinko. Like, what do you think he did? And it's like, one guy's like, oh, he went to apologize. And another guy's like, he probably hid at home. And it's like, no, he didn't do any of that. What did you do? And he's like, well, I just rode the train that goes round and round until it stops. And they're all like, what? But that doesn't solve anything. Well, I didn't want to go to work and I didn't want to go home. Because they have to get into the mindset of a scumbag who takes out too much money. Unfortunately, the next day of rehearsals, they've gotten too scummy and they don't even feel like playing. And a bunch of them have ended up playing, what's that fucking board game? The something of life?
Game of life.
The game of life? Yeah. I think they're playing the game of life or something.
Yeah, that's a, that's a go-to in anime. That and Pop-Up Pirate.
Pop-Up Pirate might be too obvious on a boat. But yeah, they're playing that and your man's like, and obviously Tanigawa was like, you've made them into too much of a scumbag. They don't even want to play the game anymore. But he's like, no, we're going to fucking, I'm kind of drawing them in. Wait, I'll show you. And he kind of sits down at the Game of Life table and he's like, yeah, you guys are doing pretty good. You want to make some real money? And he brings in his teams of scumbags, like guys who have several failed businesses with his team of guys and another team of guys. And it's all like a team-based thing. So Tanigawa was like, okay, so you're riding them up as pretend scumbags against actual scumbags. But you've made it like a team-based thing now, so this isn't going to fucking fly. And it kind of ends on a bit-tuned music of, it's like, it's not going very well, is it, Tanigawa? And that's the episode.
Yes, Yuji Endo is indeed from Kaiji. He is the loan shark who lent the money to Kaiji's friend, and who then Kaiji co-signed.
There's a lot of guys in that opening that haven't showed up yet, so I was kind of thinking he might be a thing from this show, or he's more likely a guy from Kaiji, since they were bringing in a false Kaiji.
You can even buy merchandise of him. Or at least one piece of merchandise. Two pieces have showed up.
That's more popular than some guys, yeah, that's all right.
There's a bust of him, and then there's like a dangling phone charm of him. Hey, maybe if you are a loan shark, maybe you want that on your phone.
It's a bit on the nose, though. People are kind of going to know your shtick then, aren't they?
And then weirdly, as I scroll down Google Images, I see the Laughing Salesman and Ray Racer.
dear. But yeah, no, still loving this show. Still complete stupid. I'm wondering if they're actually ever going to get to this stage, because I assume they'll just bypass it. It was like, well, that went swimmingly. Right, let's go on to the next contest.
I think there's 14 more episodes, so...
Yeah, yeah, but it's not like they can spend 14 getting to it since they're doing rehearsal.
Can't they? No.
It's entirely possible they could go through another several meetings that go fucking nowhere, and I kind of love it for that.
I think it may be for its satire that's what it needs to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It just spends ages just getting to the place where you want it to get, but it's like you've already seen that fucking show, so they don't ever need to get there. Yeah.
Then we got Late Night, The Genius Bakubon, Episode 9, Mr. Policeman's Aptitude Test and Real Genius Bakubon, in which reality is introduced into the world of Late Night, The Genius Bakubon.
It wasn't a short this time, was there? It was just the opening bit was the policeman responding very poorly to someone who wanted the neighbors to turn down their music.
Yes, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the first half is... The policeman whose eyes join in the middle off is finally brought to task by the police department for shooting his gun all the time. And he has to do his aptitude test again.
For some reason, your man who was asking the questions, like his stony face silence, I know it was just like cheap as fuck and everything like that, but him just kind of giving him a stare, it made me laugh every time. Because I was like, it's just a good face to go like, seriously, is that going to be your answer? All right.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, clearly you're going to fail, but let's just carry on asking these questions.
I just have to get through the whole fucking list. You've already failed. I can tell you that now. I'm not supposed to tell you, but I will. Yeah.
And then towards the end, Papa shows up, interrupts, and goes, hey, this isn't fair. This is a gag manga, a gag anime. You shouldn't be introducing realism into this.
You can't hold this to the standards of reality. Yes. Ask the neighborhood what they think of him and what comedy he brings to the show, to people's hearts, to the children. His beautiful, heartfelt speech, and the guy's like, you know, they're all tearing up. It's like, wow, that's really deep.
Then you get all this anonymous survey of local neighborhoods. And they all agree that he should be fired.
Oh, he's terrible. He's the worst.
Including the last one being Papa himself. Which was
like the Papa one was the icing that you on the cake you expected, but I did like the eel dog kind of going, was like, yeah, he's eaten me many times. Fuck that guy.
Which that line plays into the second half.
Yeah, it does. A lot of this plays into the second half, which is fantastic.
But yeah, that happened last week. We didn't discuss it last week. The bit when the variety show, when the Papa demands that they should debate whether or not to eat whale meat. And he's like, hands up who likes eating whale meat. And then he puts his hand up and then basically says, well, actually, I don't really know anything about the situation, the argument, yeah. So maybe I shouldn't be discussing this.
This is a popular point of contention, but I don't have an opinion on it. I shouldn't have brought it up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas this reminded me of, like, the people who like, make excuses for the racism in old cartoons. You can't look at it through today's eyes. You've got to look at it through... What it was like then.
Well, it's also the general... Yeah, that's definitely the case. But it's also the thing of, like, when you try and bring logic into a work of fiction, especially, like, a comedy fucking show, it's just like, well, how the fuck hasn't he been kicked off the job? It's like, because he's a fucking cartoon.
Yes. But the idea that then they do point out, they do then double down on saying, yes, this is a terrible way to behave.
Yeah.
With the characters actually in the show. Yeah, it was it was fascinating. And then, you know, the second half, where it basically plays as if, I guess, the time between a series of Julius Beckerbon and now had actually passed. I don't know.
If it's like a special where they're like, wow, what would this be, the gritty, realistic version of this be?
I'd say the 2000s one, but I think it seems to be further on than that because Hajime seems... pretty old.
I feel like he's kind of veering on 30s, whereas or getting closer.
It sort of plays out as if time had just really passed, but yet they were still gag manga characters, but stuck in a world where gag manga physics no longer worked.
And it was just so depressing and sad.
Yes, because Papa still wants to do all the gag manga things.
But he's basically wandering around like a person whose mind has gone.
Yes. Yeah. But then we learn that he's only doing that to keep Beckerbon happy. And Beckerbon's depressed because his father seems to be trying to pretend that he's still being in. So it's like they were feeding each other. Because we learn that his dad had a job this entire time.
he's working for Amazon or something. Yeah.
Yeah, he was keeping secret from Beckerbon because he didn't want his son to think that his dad had become a serious, real person.
I did like his line of Beckerbon's line of, it's like, I've heard of people pretending they have a job and going out fucking around, but I've never heard of someone saying they're going out to fuck around and actually having a real job.
But then there's like the issues of like, oh, we haven't got surnames.
Yeah, and he's like, I can't apply for a fucking job. My name is literally Beckerbon. What the fuck do I write on forms?
But then successful Hajime points out that he also doesn't have a surname.
Yeah, Hajime has actually done pretty well for himself. He's got a wife and kid at least at this stage, isn't it?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Or he's got a kid on the way, I think is what he said. Yeah.
Like the policeman is clearly in jail, and as threatened in the first half, he now has his eyes are no longer connected in the middle.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, I think the closest equivalent is he has a unibrow.
Yes.
That's the realistic concession they gave him. But it's obviously like... the first time he started shooting his gun like a lunatic, he was put in prison because that's illegal.
Papa's being sued for trying to wear cats as sandals.
Which is terrifying when you think about it. Oh, Jesus. And then that thing at the end was like, ha ha, it all worked out. I was like, no, that's fucking horrible.
And then he's looking for eel dog and he thinks he sees him, but it's just a cat. And then he remembers, oh, yes, we're not in a gang.
I ate him years ago.
Yes.
He wouldn't come back to life after you eat someone. That's... not how reality works.
We can't quite tell whether Mum's died or left.
I feel like the suggestion is died, off how shitty he is, like I wouldn't put it past her to leave.
Yes.
Sick of your dad's shit.
Because I can't remember if she's still drawn closer to the gag manga style in the...
Yeah, it's like this kind of picture of her in the thing. She still has the, not cross-hatching, but the kind of lined shading that is in this style, but it's very close to the manga thing, as if it's an old picture in close to the old style.
Mm. Yeah, and Rirurei is in an old people's home where his behavior seems more believable. He can still behave exactly as he does in the gag manga.
And it's sad when it's seen on a real person, yeah.
And yet, it's still really uplifting when the ending theme starts playing and Bakubon's dressed up back as he's...
I wasn't that uplifting, dude. Oh, I thought it was like, this is a fucking horror show is what this is to me.
It's just, and it would be without that music. It made me realize how good that ending theme is. And also, I hadn't realized that Papa's like crying in the ending theme as well.
In the actual ending theme, it's kind of like, it's nearly like that's what he's thinking of, this real genius Bakubon version of the show.
But I've seen lots of shows do this, like the serious episode of the gag show. I think this is the best one I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, because like a lot of the serious things are shown as like, look how depressing this would be if we made it more realistic and taken the piss out of it by doing it just straight as fuck.
Yeah, and it's not like Sanimatsu in Mr. Osamatsu.
Like the Sanimatsu ones only become funny when they do next week. Everything's even more fucked than it was last week. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't play it as realistic as they heighten it in a different way.
Yeah.
It's like, what if this was realistic? What if it was really gritty and realistic? What if it was so depressed? Whereas this is like... This is
everything that they show that is depressing is shown as a straight-faced joke.
Yeah, and also it's because the depressing is that they're stuck in a realistic world. It's not like a heightened realistic world.
They're doing everything that they would do on a given week, but it doesn't make sense in this world.
Yes, it's more depressing because it's in our world.
Yeah.
We can't have the fun that a gag manga character can have. Or can we?
No, we're in cats.
Go around chasing around cats. Come here, slippers.
And at the end, they're trying to put on cats, and I was just like, fucking hell. And you can hear the sirens coming as the fucking music is playing. I was just like, this is a shit show right here.
For something which, the weird thing, so as we said, it kind of has gags, but they're like, they're not jokes. They're just like, oh, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha. Yeah. Next week, Genius Hajime.
I thought we already knew that at this stage, but all right.
Yes. Well, he actually is a genius, not a genius idiot.
Yeah.
Righty-ho. Then we have, next up on the list, Ninja Gaiden Samurai Master, episode 75, The Nightmarish Shiga Encampment. Can you, for the life of you, remember what happens in this episode?
I know a fucking bunch does, because it goes through a bunch of the, what were they called, catastrophes? Or
yes.
Shit that went wrong for Nobunaga.
And it ends
there was,
with...
There was one of the monks apologizes to the fucking, I was going to say the king. That's not the right fucking word.
The shogun.
He apologized to the shogun. The shogun obviously is kind of saying, it's like, oh yeah, you know what I want to do with all the snow and this kind of weather? He's like, oh yeah, you want to build a snowman? Well, actually, I was thinking I want to encircle fucking Nobunaga, but yeah, I'll build a snowman too. And he's like, wait, what? The shogun's obviously forgiving the monks because he's like, yeah, you're fucking up Nobunaga. Fuck that guy. That's one of the things that happens, and I'm trying to fucking remember it. Like, a lot does happen.
It ends with Nobunaga deciding that he's going to have to apologize.
Yeah, like, lay himself low on the mercy, because basically everything has gone against him at this stage, and everyone is working against him as well.
Yeah, it was a lot of facts to take in. I should have made notes.
I feel like they'd be my longest notes, despite one of the shortest shows.
Yes.
Fucking Nobunaga's brother fucking died off screen. The guy who have we even seen the fucker? I don't know. He had to commit seppuku. Someone else fucking died as well. Again, someone who wasn't that, who's not like a faced character on this show, I guess is the way.
Yeah. Put it. Hideyoshi's back.
Yeah, some cool guy came along, but Hideyoshi kicked his ass. Shit. Yeah, fucking a lot of things happen, and it's weirdly that I can't remember most of it.
Yeah. Anyway, there wasn't a great number of gags. Just if you want to know what happened, go watch it yourself at this point.
Yeah, no, I'm taking in the history. It's just like it's a lot to cram in.
You'll find out what happened quicker than we can try to remember it, to be honest.
That's true, yeah.
Righty-ho. That was bad of us. Banana Fish episode 10, Babylon Revisited. I know what happened in this. Well, first of all, the bad animation tornado hit, and then a load of people
got
killed.
Don't hit eventually.
Yes. It looks good at the end. I think it looks good at the start. Yeah. It's just the bit where Ash is killing a hell of a lot of people. There's various ways it's bad. The bit where I was like, oh, here comes the bad animation tornado, is the bit where you see his hat, where there's a drawing of like a door handle. And I was like, could you not find a door handle for reference to draw?
Yeah, it's like, you know how to draw people and stuff, and that's obviously where you got your animation shit, but it's like, yeah, you... But they were more concerned with, like, the animated blowing holes and things, which is a pretty easy animation, to be fair.
But the
just
action,
suddenly draw a hole on it.
The action wasn't super. It's not something you're going to take and say, yeah, you got to watch this action scenes from this episode.
No, it's just running around a mansion, like, shooting people.
Yes, yeah. Having been playing a lot of GTA 5 at the moment, it kind of reminded me of the... uncoordinated action when you do a contract mission in that.
I guess the chaoticness of it and everyone running around is like, oh my god, we don't know where he is, and him just like taking them apart slowly, it's kind of impressive, but it's not
dynamic.
It's impressive in execution. Yeah, it's not dynamic, which is kind of what you want for a visual medium.
But basically it sets up a number of things. So Sing, he's not been told, but he's pretty certain that Ash killed Shorter, but he does not know the reason
why. Like, yeah, he didn't believe the guard, because it's like, well, he could be bullshitting, let's see. And when he meets Ash, Ash is like, fuck off. And he's currently burning Shorter's body. Yeah. So it's kind of like, that's not exactly proof against him having not killed him. Yeah.
I did like his responsible initial response. It was like him and his two...
It was sensible. It wasn't like, he killed him, I'll kill him. It was like, no, let's fucking wait and see.
And it was like, let's just keep it between us three. Don't tell anybody else.
Yeah, there's no reason to spread misinformation.
Yuk Lung Lee also refuses to tell him whether or not Ash, or why Ash killed Short. Is it why or if he did? It's why, I think, is he refuses to tell.
Yeah, because I feel like he thinks he can use these guys.
Yes.
That's very much so why he's keeping them on a string.
And by the end of the episode, he's run off with the rest of the banana fish as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, he has specifically helped Ash. He gave him the key to get out of there.
Yes.
But it's kind of the thing of, and Ash is like, I'll fucking kill you next time I see him. And it's like, all right, if you're going to be like that. But it suits him at the moment to have Ash running fucking crazy so he can do his own scheming against his brothers and that kind of thing.
Yes, because I like the way that his reaction to banana fish is just as bad as... Ash is almost, he's horrified, but unlike Ash, he's like, that's a horrible thing, but I can use it.
Yeah,
to get my revenge. And also,
God, it drives men crazy. Puts in pocket.
He's talking about how Ash is weak because there's people he cares for, whereas we know...
Yeah, you're strong against defending yourself, but against other people, you just fall apart. Like,
whereas we know Yuk Lung Lee is out for revenge for the person he cared for who's already dead.
Yeah. There's a lot of parallels between him and Ash, yeah.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, the version that didn't work out to be as, inverted commas, good?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is Abraham, the younger brother, he gets killed by Ash after Yuk Lung Lee sets him up to get killed by paralyzing his legs?
Oh, the other doctor, yeah. Yeah. Some Chinese woman stabbed me with a needle and...
made off with the banana fish.
And obviously, you know, he can't really talk his way out of the situation, so that's just loads of clipping to him.
Dino and his political allies use it to murder the presidential candidate.
I presume, like, it didn't say, but I presume that was his wife or something.
I guess, or assistant or something, yeah.
Yeah. Some woman with him. So it would seem like, why did she kill her own husband, boss, whatever? Yeah.
They don't let AG kill anybody. They don't give him a gun, so he's still innocent. And also, Max doesn't let Shinichi kill anybody. They don't give him a gun either, so Shinichi remains. The Japanese people must remain innocent.
Yeah, even though AJ specifically asked for a gun, but Ash is like, there only needs to be one murderer here.
Right, yeah, Shinichi did as well. And yeah, it's like,
yeah, that's true, yeah. That was a big load of guns.
No, Shinichi thing was he wanted to go with Ash, that was it.
Yeah, you're right.
And he's like, I can't take care of three of you. As a diss to Max. That's pretty much it.
Yep, Ash is back in his back in town. Like he's driven his birthday present car, I think, into town after taking pretty much blowing up the mansion for the most part.
Yeah, 6 volumes down, 13 to go. Don't think we get it all done in the 24 episodes.
I mean, so wait, hold on. We're 10 episodes. No, yeah, you're right. Episodes, I was going to say, because I was like, it's pretty much halfway now with the volumes, but.
No, we're not even half. We're a third of the way now.
Okay. Yeah, unless they do some kind of different ending. Yeah, this.
Yeah, all the cause all the rest of it moves faster. So yeah, it's like according to Wikipedia, 7-11 is the volume 7-11 of the next arc. Then 12-14 is the one after that. 15-18 is the final arc, and then there's an epilogue, which is. Remainder of 18 and volume 19.
So it'll be like 3 arcs in one season or something.
Could be. Let me do
unless maths. They set up one in this one.
I don't know whether all these volumes are the same size.
Yeah, I think this is one of the weaker ones. Not just of stuff this week, but of Banana Fish. The animation, obviously, being in the big action scene, that's kind of where you want it. But I guess they just wanted to get all the bloody blowing up of the mansion and everything just done. Yeah,
so 10 episodes, so it is, let me do it the other way around, it's like 0.6 of a volume per episode at the moment, so if I should times that by 24, that would take us up to volume 14, volume 15, if it goes at the same pace. Volumes are at the same pace.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah, I guess then you could have another season, come back and do 12 more episodes to finish things off. Or, as we say, they may rewrite a bunch of stuff.
Sure.
Because, yeah.
Well, they've already changed the time setting a little bit and introduced mobile phones and that kind of shit. It does make a difference, and people do use them, which I appreciate.
Then, after that, we've got Working Buddies Episode 2, sorry, Working Buddies 2, Episode 10, Hero Show Buddies, in which they're working as villains, the hench villains, at a kids' hero show.
I'm guessing, like, it's supposed to be a specific villain, because it looked very, the hero looked very Ultraman kind of thing.
I've never seen one. I guess they work this way in how they talk. Basically, they're told they do a good job at talking to children and getting them involved.
Yeah, no, one of them is very one of them is kind of quiet and reserved about it, and he's getting the quiet, reserved kid. And the other guy is getting the kid who's excited, and he's doing all the cool poses and being like, "Oh, what's that noise? Is that the hero?" Kind of looking around. They did a very good job. I agree with the hero, the superhero, and the supervillain. I was just like, "Yeah, you guys were pretty good. You want to?" Change roles next time.
And even the animal who cannot be named didn't get interrupted in a reasonable thing to say as well.
Yeah. I guess it was kind of talking about he was accidentally talking about the excesses of work for once.
Yes, he was. He was also hiding inside a giant Woozer costume.
Well, you wouldn't expect. You expect him to be in a giant creature who could not be named.
That is true, because we know they exist from live action episodes.
At least one. I think I've seen these kind of shows in the West before. They seem pretty fun. I kind of wish they were around when I was a kid. It seems like a good time.
Was he saying, yeah, justice, evil, work, it's important not to take anything too far.
Yeah. Because justice taken to its extreme is an evil.
Yes.
And therefore work taken to an extreme is not good for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless, of course, it was the frog secretly inside the costume of the...
I feel like he's like normal size, though. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think that the animal changes sizes depending on the situation.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm sure we will never learn.
He's smaller than a bread box, I think, is the only definition of him.
Then we got Bono Bono, Season 3, Episode 23, A Scary Boss Is Coming, in which those two bears from Episode 3, I believe, of this season...
one of them has a name now.
Gonzo is the big
Gondo?
One.
No, Gonzo.
Yeah.
Ah.
The one who keeps on getting distracted and by insects.
I'm not sure we've seen his face. Yeah.
Yeah, he's too tall. His head's...
It's cut out of frame, or it's being attacked by bees.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're the ones who beat up Boss Bear, I believe, in Episode 3. Fishing Cat goes to help. And they say they want to find Fishing Cat to thank him.
Yeah, where it's very clear. It's like they want to stop him from interfering. He beat him up for interfering in their fight with Boss Bear.
Yeah.
And not actually fighting them. Because he basically tricked his way out of fighting.
He did, yes.
Didn't he? Yeah.
So this news is relayed by Wolverine, and then again by Bono, who just keeps on repeating everything. Basically, Wolverine's sitting right next to Fishing Cat, telling him all this news. And then Bono goes, "Did you hear?"
Bono says it more excitedly and worriedly. Yes. Yeah.
And so him, Chipmunk, and Raccoon are worried for Fishing Cat's safety, and so they convince him to hide by the sea, because no one ever sees you by the sea.
Yeah, you're never by the ocean, so they'll probably go look for it at your house. I did like the thing of like showing all the things they'll do to Fishing Cat as well. It's kind of like the adult going like, oh, and then they'll put you like in an arm lock, and you know, the adult going like, I could easily break out of this, but yeah, okay, I'll put up with the kids kind of thing. It was fun.
Yeah, and so the kids go back to Fishing Cat's cave. What are they going to try and
They're going to try and remove all traces of Fishing Cat. So presumably, like, I don't know, fish bones or something. He doesn't seem to have anything in his cave, but I don't know.
But then the two bears show up and they're like, hello, children. Do you know where Fishing Cat is?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they've heard, like, that the kids are hiding Fishing Cat, that kind of way. But it seems to imply that, yeah.
Yeah, they've definitely given away that this is where Fishing Cat normally lives.
Yeah, and I like Fishing Cat's kind of standing up. It's like, I'm cold. It's like, I've stayed here too long. And it's like, does he mean the forest? Does he mean here? It's like, or it's time for action, punches hand, you know.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's a good cliffhanger that I wonder if they'll do the thing where they're not going to resolve it next episode, but I'm excited anyway.
Entirely possible, based on previous...
I've been burned before.
I do like we see Wolverine's dad and Boss Bear hanging out as well.
Was that theme tune? Is that Boss Bear's theme or is it Wolverine's dad theme that they were playing while they were talking? Yeah, I know. I'm trying to identify all the character themes now because there are a few of them, and I'm not as good as associating them to the characters.
But the gags are mainly with the two bears, the big one.
Yeah.
Being obsessed with insects.
Yeah, doesn't he try and get directions off
a chrysalis, yes.
I mean, he seemingly does, but yeah.
Well, the other one isn't getting very much out of that rabbit. Right, because the rabbit looks terrified.
You're too scary. No one will answer questions to you. Like, I think it's like the big guy's supposed to be the muscle, but obviously not the brains, yeah.
I'm not even sure he's muscle either, because he does get beaten up by
just
ants.
Intimidating. That's true. Yeah. But, I mean, like, we've seen how ineffectual Boss Bear is in most situations, so...
That is true, yes. Yeah, it's... hopefully they do pay it off.
Mm.
Then we're flying by... it is My Hero Academia, Episode 60, A Talk About Your Quirk. In which we learn who has passed and who has failed at the start.
Mm.
Everyone's passed except for Todoroki, Inasa, and Bakugo.
Well, I mean, I presume other people haven't passed based off the reaction.
That's true.
Characters who we fucking know.
And then also, guess technically, Kami hasn't passed because she was never in the exam in the first place.
Wait, who's Kami?
She's the girl from the same school as Inasa.
Well, I mean, like, she technically has the fucking license at this stage, I imagine.
Well, no, because they. You'll
see. Did they outright say she like that she inverted commas didn't pass?
No, they don't yet. But
okay,
that will be addressed in the next season.
Hmm.
Yes.
I'm slightly worried about a character I've never technically seen.
you don't need to be worried about her.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
But yes, the other thing is, the reveal is made here that Cammy was Toga all along, so there was only one sexually aggressive teenager who's into Izuria.
Like, it makes sense, like, and it's not so much that she didn't have any shame with her nakedity, it wasn't her body she was... using, yes. That kind of thing.
I have seen some people confused. The shape-changing is Toga's power.
The slime and stuff, yes. Is her power. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't see... Cammy's power is not presented at all.
It might be, like, literally what Toga was saying. It's like because Midoriya kind of goes up to the hair guy and is like, hey, what's your training that lets you hide in people's presence and stuff? And he's like, we don't fucking have that kind of training. What are you talking about?
Well, yeah, that's your clue. That
because that could have been the girl's power that she was.
No, I know. We know in the comics.
We don't know for sure, but yeah, yeah.
It's a power similar enough that Toga could probably have got away. But yeah, no, the shape changing, the slimy stuff is entirely all her. There's nothing you see.
Yeah, because we see that dropping off her as she takes her own form. Yeah.
Nothing you see her doing in this is anything but Toga's quirk.
Okay, fair enough. I thought it might be like some weird combination or something.
No, it's just that and her generally being evil stalker skills.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Being a weird creep.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. The signs were there. I should have picked up on it. But,
no, don't worry. I did not at all. And then when I saw her introduced, because there's a comment she makes about blood right away when she's introduced, when Inasa's banging his head against the floor, bleeding.
Hmm.
She makes a comment about blood, and then I was like, oh, fucking hell.
Like, she basically can't make the excuse of getting that in a fucking a beaker right now. She's just like, a bit of waste of blood.
Her general bloody creep, her creepiness about blood is like, oh, it was there, like, I think in the very first line she says.
It's really nice, yeah. It changes the context of all her other interactions.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, and then watching the anime and people seeing it for the first time and also not getting it made me feel better about... But I feel
it was subtle enough even in the comic. Yeah, yeah.
I think it was more subtle in the comic. I think she came across more of a creep, and there was like a couple... It was like one episode where...
Well, they were trying to make her look more like sexually aggressive rather than violently aggressive, which is... I mean, like, obviously there's a sexuality to it.
I think it's the voice acting, but there was also an episode where I think they specifically flash back to some stuff, which made me go, oh, they're putting in a few more clues.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the manga comes across more subtly. Like, I'd read that much. I did like in the one of the prior episodes, Urarika's kind of drive, the determination to put her feelings to the side to get this fucking job done right now. It was subtler in the manga, because in this in the show it did, you know, flashbacks and everything. Yeah,
yeah, that may have been the same flashbacks I'm talking about actually.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, like you say, those things kind of make it a little more blunt.
Yes,
but that's fine for a visual medium. Sometimes you need to do that.
Yeah, because there may have been like the flashback of Toga attacking her.
Yeah, because obviously that's one of the lines that they use. There's someone you like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, did she take her blood as well?
She didn't, because I remember her lamenting at the end. It's just like, I didn't manage to get her blood out. And she was sucking on that thing like a straw, which is just so creepy. She did get some of the Froppy's blood, I think, because I think she licks it off the knife. I could be wrong about that. I'll have to double check. She does definitely cut her anyway, is what I mean.
Yeah, I can't remember whose blood she's taken or not. Obviously,
you gotta keep fucking track, yeah. She might have a few more drops,
She's got Deku's blood, one drop of it by the end of this.
Yeah, the bit that she managed to get him, that cut on his face.
So she can turn into him.
Uh-oh. So there's going to be some point where there was a scene with Deku that wasn't him, and you're not going to realize it till later, and it's going to be fucking class. It's going to blow people's minds.
the prototype sketches of Himiko state that she is possibly bisexual.
I guess that flies into the way she was hanging around Uraraka and Midoriya. Yeah. She's attracted to their drive, not so much their gender. Yeah. I guess that falls into that bisexual evil trope, but what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, there is a... Yeah, I don't know about bisexual, but there's...
Or something similar, just bisexual
I mean. Evil, yes. Because I think it's definitely... gay characters are definitely treated.
And trans characters the show's done positively. Okay that it has went, oh, there's an evil trans character, there's a good trans character as well. It's done good by that so far, so I'll give it the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I think occasionally, yeah, you'll see there's a thing which you think, oh, no, it's going in that direction with another character, and then it turns out that's just a red herring.
Okay.
So I don't know with Himiko. I also suspect by the end all the League of Villains are going to turn good guys.
Because you end up knowing too much about them or liking them?
Yeah, I think you'll learn more stuff about them and... there's things happening in the comic now where you're like, oh yeah, they're not just these blunt instruments of being evil.
They've got their own things going on.
Yeah, and there's part. It's like things have happened to them to turn them this way.
Oh, is it more so a commentary on the society that's so fucking hero focused?
Possibly.
That's kind of left them in the way.
Yeah, but also I think it's not necessarily the hero focus which has damaged them, but maybe there's no support for people
with powers that don't line into that format. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's like your amazing physical abilities or whatever it is, what makes you don't fit into society. And I mean, like, you could put that onto fucking race or sexuality or stuff for us, but for this thing, it's obviously fantastic superpowers. Yeah.
Weirdly, I think it handles it as well as One Punch Man does. Because I'm never quite sure where the series stands on various things to a certain degree. It's like there's like a hint that something's wrong with the bureaucracy, but at the same time, it's so far nothing's been offered as a better solution. Or maybe that's the point.
Yeah, it could be the thing of like that it's not necessarily that the bureaucracy are actually fucking evil, but it's just that it doesn't... It's not that they're going out of their way to be evil. It's just that they're accidentally, by creating this format, they've created one in which some people don't have the same opportunities as others.
Yeah. And also, but also he doesn't just blame that. It's like the media as well. Because obviously, Stain would be very... If Stain ever gets out of prison, he's going to be incredibly pissed off with everyone who's doing things in his name.
Yeah, that's like the opposite thing of what he wanted. Even though some people are reacting... Like the meatball guy, some people are reacting in the opposite way. They're trying to be the best heroes and only allow the best heroes through.
Yeah,
which is, I guess, more so in his line of thinking. By accident, Uran's disgusted by that thought as well.
Yes, because we learn that he should have done things properly. Because it's like even the ones who fail, we learn get a second part of the exam.
Yeah. I did like that bit in it. They get the is this like a 3-month course or something?
Yes, yeah.
And you get the chance to, if you do well in that, you take the exam again. And it's the idea that once you pass that first test, that was just to give everyone their preliminary licenses. Now the other one was like, and in the thing, your little sheet has like where you lost points on. So it tells you everything that even the people who fucking passed with flying colors is like, okay, here are your failings, work on them. But for the people who fail, it's like your failings are too much, so that's something we're going to help you work on. And it nearly seems to be like a reaction to the people left behind thing we were talking about with the villains, because they're specifically going like, okay, you guys are good, and you guys could even surpass the guys who passed this test the first time around, but we're going to help you get that step further. They're not leaving people behind.
Yeah.
And they were just having a cutting off point for ability.
I think it was the last episode. They say how their grading was because they're like, we got to bring in people who can work together because there's nobody left now who can be the solo superhero inspires other solo superheroes.
Yeah, it's like the pillar, the next pillar isn't going to be new All Might. It's going to be you, the next generation of heroes. You're all going to be the pillar. We're not going to put it all on one person's back. So if that person fails, we're fucked. We're going to make an entire generation.
Also because that next person is Endeavor.
Yeah, that's the other fucking thing. It's just like, oh shit, when this torch gets passed, it doesn't fucking work no more. Or it doesn't work in the same regard.
No.
So they're trying to fix the broken system that they've accidentally made. And again, it's a thing discussed in this episode that All For One calling All Might, it's like, it's because of you becoming the pillar that you not being there anymore makes this whole fucking system fall apart. So they're trying to fix that system from the ground up, yeah.
So the next bit is, as you say, it's All For One talking to All Might in prison. All Might shows up in his superhero costume.
Was that to throw him? Was that to make him, like, because I feel like All Might was kind of playing him a little bit. It was just like, I want to see how much he knows. I want to make it look like I'm more pathetic. That kind of way.
No, I think it's also because the message he's saying is that I'm not going anywhere. I'm not dying. Just because I've lost my powers, don't think you've got rid of me.
Like, I was wondering, but was it to make him gloat more than think? Because obviously he's, I think he's trying to do the game like, what's the old guy again? Gran Torino said, it's like, yeah, I'm trying to play mind games with him as well, kind of thing.
Yeah, because he's basically telling him that you think you know everything, but you don't know everything.
Yeah, you got it all fucking planned out, huh, buddy? Which is a pretty good bit, like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what really the conversation achieves for either of them, but
I think it's beneficial for All Might, but he's actually, like, he is seeing if the guy has any information, or if he can see if he has information that he's keeping to himself, because he's sent to the police detective, he's like, yeah, he obviously has no fucking clue what they're up to.
Yeah, because he's trying to find out about...
But it might be a proof for himself as well.
Yeah.
And
then the rest of the episode is basically the end results of other fuck-ups by All Might. And also Deku. But
slips of speech, yeah.
Yeah. basically, Bakugo has essentially figured everything out.
He doesn't know the specifics, and that obviously irks him, but he's figured out, it's like, well, if this motherfucker can take powers, and we specifically know he can, then these Nobus have multiple powers, so powers can be given, and you mentioned something like that, and you took All Might's fucking speech very differently than everyone else fucking did. You didn't do the fist pumping like, yeah, you fucking broke down, because that meant something else for you, and so you're taking his power... And fight me. Yeah. That's kind of his, makes sense that's his solution. And obviously he's brought him to the place where Deku first beat him at anything, I guess.
Yes.
Hmm.
And then I was like, oh yeah, now I remember why the other thing ended early, because they've got to deal with this and this. And then I guess maybe there's nothing on the 29th. I don't know, maybe there's like a gap before Phoenix Wright starts. because I'm not sure whether there's two or three episodes left after this. Feels like there should be two, but there may be space for three.
They might do a filler again.
Yeah, there's always that chance. I wouldn't mind if they did some filler with some of the characters who don't get as much time.
There's so many fucking good characters in this. Yeah. It's like you said, I know you weren't as gone on the filler with the other characters, mainly because of the guys they were put up against not being as interesting, but I thought it was good characterization for them.
It was, but again, it wasn't, say, like the guy who has to eat loads of sugar.
Yeah, what's his deal? I want to know what's going on in his head. What's his drive? That kind of thing, yeah.
And then next time is Deku versus Kachan Part 2.
It should be a good fight, or at least an interesting one. Because obviously it's a moralistic one as well.
Yeah. And then, lastly, because there was no Kitaro this week, Planet With, Episode 10, Karellen and Russia Verak who are it's literally the names of the cat and the dog. Or the dog and the cat.
Bit on the nose, but yeah, okay.
Yes. Yeah, he's got to oversee humanity. It's like, yeah, he's like very on the nose. What if Childhood's End had more giant robots?
I mean, most things are improved by that, yeah.
And it's pretty much just a giant robot fight for the entire episode.
You see, like, the worry would be, right, that the... I mean, like, the designs are good, the fights have been pretty good, but it's kind of like... I feel like one of the weaker parts of the show is the... It's not that the action is bad, it's just that it's... The story and the characterization and their interactions are much more interesting.
Yes.
But it's a good fight, so well done. And it's also that escalating fight, which is
yes,
which is nice.
People point
escalation
out.
And then de-escalation. Very nice.
It's another ending.
It is. It's basically like the last shot of it is the sequel show set several years later. Because, you know, as soon as they say, it's like in 5 years, it's like, oh, fuck, they're going to do a time skip, aren't they? Within this fucking episode. Fucking hell.
So basically, they tell the generalist.
Also, your man gives him a week to repair. To heal up. And it's just like, yeah, there's just a cut to a week because this show does not fuck around.
Yeah. Also, the nerd shows up. I forgot that he'd been sent away by his family, so that's why he wasn't there last week. He did wait for his dream.
He was getting his life together, but obviously he's failing again now.
Yeah.
Being his wonderful failure self of holding his book upside down.
So yeah, they have a fight in the giant robots, and then they do
In the robots, and then the giant robots,
yes,
and then to space, like with Dragon Ball Z or some shit. And then
back into the little robots, then inside the big dog robot, and then hand to hand. And it's like, hey, Gurren Lagann, someone like Gurren Lagann.
Well, I assume a bunch of people did, but it still works well here.
Oh yeah, it's always great when a succession of Russian doll robots. But also, what's really good is Sensei's get on faces when Sawyer's doing like ah, and then sliding up behind him comes the Sensei also going ah. Basically that. The Generalissimo's got a miniaturized sealing device, so that's the last thing. He's basically said, if you can destroy this, you've won.
And his duel is destroy this, you win, but I'm going to try and break your will, but if I break your body first, then this will be your grave.
Yes. But Sensei's argument is that we're not only trying to save Earth, we're also trying to save you.
And that's the thing, like, that's kind of hammered home to him. Yeah. When I did, like, Generalissimo going, like, what did he call him? He's, like, stupid dog or something like that. He's like, dog, you motherfucker. It's like, no, he's trying to save you. He's trying to save everyone. That's why Sensei's fucking class, because he's taken on too much.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, you just need to look over these planets and protect them. You don't have to...
Give them a shot.
Yes.
Let them have their chance. They deserve it. That kind of thing, like, because he's surprised at the growth of Soya as well. He's like, fuck, you've actually matured quite a bit. And it's like, because I was given the fucking chance.
Yeah, and I guess the Generalissimo's problem is he feels he failed with Sirius, is they didn't get there in time to stop the dragon from destroying Sirius.
Yeah,
as much as it is
he's obsessed with the ceiling now, because it's like, if I can just stop it beforehand, that many people won't have to die.
Yes.
Won't have to get hurt. Yeah.
They agree they'll hang around for the 4 or 5 years. Yeah, Sawyer's thing is like, well, I beat you 7 guys, so now you have to do what I say. So
fucking childish and so fucking brilliant. I love it. Yeah.
The old man comes and helps the fight as well by slicing off the...
He comes in using all his psychic energy to cut through a god weapon, and it's like, oh my goodness, that will totally, surely kill him, and I was glad they didn't go that route.
Yeah, but also... The fact that he did, and he had that much power, and then when they say it can't be possible that the dragon was sent back in time 50 years and ended up on the moon, I was like, fucking hell, that old man is Sawyer.
If he's not, then they've been... Like, he's something like that.
Yeah, or
like
they really want you to think that he is.
Yeah, I guess it could be a red herring, but they're definitely making those parallels, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And it sounds like they haven't made parallels between characters in this show already.
Yeah, but also the line of in 4 to 5 years, he goes, oh, after he hasn't died, they think he's died and they just hear him breathing.
Yeah, he's snoring. It's like, yes. And he's like, wake up, old man. He's like, don't fucking wake me up. I'm just gonna live on this island in the middle of the Pacific. Whatever.
But then he says, oh, in 4 or 5 years, I'll be dead. I wonder if
he knows. Yeah, because he's very old.
But I think, what if he knows that he's dead because he's seen himself die when he was younger?
So, it's a question, right? If this entire fucking scenario is the test for Soyuz people, I've forgotten the fucking name
of
the
Siriusians.
Yeah. The Sirius guys. If this is the entire test, is it because like he had to live an entire life within this test for it to function?
If it's a test,
like fucking that episode of Next Generation where Picard has to like live a whole fucking life, that kind of thing.
If it's the Sirius, if he's being tested, it's being done by the Paradise people, I think, at this point. I don't think it's being done by...
Oh, well, I mean, like, yeah, I guess the pacifists and the guys are parts of the test at this stage. Yeah.
We still don't know why the class president was immune to her psychic powers.
Yeah, that's a bit of a thing hanging as well. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm questioning whether it is a test. I imagine it'll function as one, even if everything isn't fake that we've seen.
Yeah, I wonder if during the fight with the dragon, he gets sent backwards in time. I also wonder if the dragon gets sent backwards in time again and becomes...
Well, the dragon's at this stage has been sent forwards in time, correct?
No, they say you sent... what does it say? Impossible. No, nothing can survive space-time banishment.
Oh, no, you're right.
Telling
the
me it traveled through time to 50 years ago.
To the moon. Yeah, you're right.
Because when he says 50 moon, I was like, oh, yeah,
that would be long enough to become an old man.
Yes. But I also wonder if when they fight the dragon the second time, he gets sent back in time a second time and then becomes the baby that the old man found.
The other guy was. Yeah. Or, is that the thing that happens to the dragon when they... Yes.
What if the paradise person is also Sawyer, even older?
Yeah. I mean, like, that's definitely a possibility at this stage, that the brother was a fiction created as part of the test.
Because if those names are a bigger reference to Childhood's End, because I was looking, I've not read it, so I'm purely going by
with Cliff Notes,
yeah, which was, yeah, literally, when you look it up, it's like the names, it's like buy your online essay here from reading Childhood's End.
Yeah.
Is the Overlords characters, which are where the names come from, their job is to like guide races into this higher psychic state overmind.
But obviously the paradise people are like beyond physical form,
but they themselves can't become it.
Oh, so they can show you the way but they can't do it themselves, which would fit into like the sensei and generalissimo being like parts of the test that they actually can't get beyond.
I'm less on the test theory. I'm still very much on the time travel theory.
Like I said, it could be a lot of things, and even the time travel could be part of a test. There's a few things it could potentially be, and I'd be happy if it was actually none of the things we've named and something that we've been fucking overlooking. I still feel like this show has made me think enough about it.
It's great. Can't say it enough. Increasing numbers of people seem to say it.
The tide's turning on it a little, which is nice. It's fucking 10 episodes in. You can catch into so much shit happening very quickly.
I mean, I was on board as soon as I saw the design of the robot. That was what made me want to watch it. I was like, that looks like the robot designs in Gadgard. I liked the robot designs in Gadgard.
That's actually a thing I did like about this episode, is when they both decide to power up with the performance enhancing drugs, and they're both like, I don't want, and the robot's reacting kind of like, I don't want it though, it's going to make me feel like ass, and the generalissimo is like, woof! It's like, come on, it's the big fight, we got to take the drugs.
So does Shirayashi actually have a tail, or is that just her costume?
I don't know. A lot of people only noticed it this time around, I think.
I noticed in that sort of the thing on Anime News Network about that talk the creator was giving.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I that was, even though he's like very specifically, I can't give away a lot.
But he did say that she people see her the way they want to see her, including the audience.
Yeah. So that's fun. Like, because the implication with her having the differently colored hair and the and being kind of like a counter to crap, I keep forgetting her name. It's not Momo, is it? The cat princess thing. She's not a cat, obviously.
Ginko.
Fuck's sake. Okay, another thing ended in O. Stupid me. But she's like presented as like nearly a counter to her, and obviously Soya to some extent. So the suggestion that she's also an alien of some kind, yeah. There's definitely a lot more to fucking that we can't figure out because we don't have all the pieces yet.
No. But there you go. It's great. Lots of stuff is great. It's all good. Shame there's no Kitaro this week, but I don't know if it was just everything wasn't on or just that.
Like, I'm fucking wondering now, because so far it's only been doing it to us on the shorts, but I'm wondering if there's going to be like two Kitaros next week.
Was there a One Piece? That is the question. So far behind. Last time I watched One Piece was episode 840, and it's currently on 852.
Oh, jeez, okay. I think I'm only like an issue or two behind in the comics, so.
Yeah, there looks like there was no One Piece this week either.
Okay. Oh, shit, I'm being stupid. Is it just like the fucking, was it a typhoon or?
Yeah, it was assorted problems, yes.
Yeah, it could be related to that. Just any related fucking industry being delayed could cause it to, yeah.
Yes. 852, a hard battle starts, Luffy versus Katakuri. So that's where they are at the moment. Righty-ho, that is everything for this week. Anything else to add? Anything else you watched?
No, I don't think so.
No, I watched a episode of Lupin the Third Part 2. Because for my superhero panel I'm preparing.
Okay.
I watched the episode 94, Lupin versus Superman. Which not only has Superman parodies, but also has a parody of the 1970s detective show MacLeod.
Okay.
Starring Dennis Weaver. He was the New Mexico marshal who's assigned to Manhattan, but he wanders around Manhattan on the back of his horse.
Cowboy in the modern world kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Also, the quality of the subtitles post the Funimation material on Crunchyroll gets us a rather variable. Because I think, yeah, it's like sometimes it's like, was this machine translate? Sometimes it's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure at some point they call the character MacLeod, and he's supposed to be called MacLeod because he's definitely not MacLeod, even though he looks exactly like him, but shot through a Lupin filter.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, it was pretty good, and I'll get a screenshot out of it at the very least. So, look, here's Lupin dressed as Superman. Because it was the time people forget how crazy people went for Superman, because this craziness died down and the Star Wars craziness just carried on for
that's true.
A few years longer, because obviously Star Wars had better sequels than Superman did.
I mean, like, you can say that might be the uncontroversial Star Wars opinion, yeah.
Yes, but I think it's, say, if Superman 3 had been to the standard of Superman 2, or even if Superman 2 had been the standard of Superman 1,
Yeah, you'd be good, sure.
Yeah, I think people would have been loving Superman.
I think we probably could have had that superhero fucking boom way quicker, yeah.
Yeah, and you wouldn't have had Superman 4. I can't remember if I think we mentioned it after the podcast, not on the podcast, but I now go on record and say I rewatched it this weekend, and Cannonball Run 3 is not a good film.
Okay, fair enough. I didn't go watch it.
Non-controversial opinion. You don't need to watch that. Unless you're a big SCTV completist. You're safe.
Oh, wait, was that the one that just got like the name tagged onto it in the end, was it?
Kind of like that, yeah. Like, I think when I originally saw it, I saw it as something else. But yeah, I dug out my dodgy copy of it. I think possibly was recorded off TV at some point. Speed Zone is the other name of it. I think I saw it as Speed Zone first. Yeah, it's like there's lots of people are liking this, but yeah, it's not very good.
It happens.
Yes. So don't watch that. There's a weird tribute to Burt Reynolds. Be watching the Cannonball Run. He's not in.
Like an Andy tribute, yeah.
Also known as Cannonball Fever and Cannonball Run 3. So I think that was everything extra I may have watched. Yeah, that is correct. Righty ho. Before we say goodbye, let's find out what's coming up on this week's Secret of the Sailor Madness and Dynamite in the Brain. I guess without a Nile, you've not recorded another Secret of the Sailor Madness.
I mean, like, I could do a Nile impression, maybe. No.
Get Anthony on to do one of his trademark impressions.
It's still the last episode up there is Disenchantment, and yeah, pretty much not going to happen for a little bit, but we should be coming back pretty soon when Nile is back.
I remember a thing I was going to ask if you had watched or it was on your radar.
Oh, what's that?
What's it called? The Captain Underpants TV show, which is on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw that coming up, but it wasn't something I'd consider doing. I'm not as familiar with it. I assume you're intimately familiar with it.
I'm not. I just put it on the background, and it does some pretty, I would say, innovative stuff, but stuff you're not expecting.
Okay.
Or at least I wasn't expecting. I was like, oh, it's just a crappy cash in on the fact that they made a movie of the book, but it has like continuity, and it kind of plays up the idea that you would be surprised that a Netflix show like this was going to have continuity.
Okay, that's interesting.
And then it sort of does some things with, there's like one episode where they go into claymation and they do some pretty good jokes about suddenly switching the medium.
Okay, I might have to check it out then. I'll run it by Niall when he's back and see if he's interested.
Yeah. I think the listeners may have just accidentally heard that annoying Paradise PD advert as I was switching to Netflix.
I was worried that was one you were going to bring up. I was like,
I didn't
think you would suggest it.
No, I never watched, what was it, Brickleberry or whatever the thing is?
I don't fucking know what it was
the
called,
the people who made it did beforehand, and this is just basically it again with different names.
Yeah, I've seen the autoplaying Netflix ad and I'm not fucking interested, so no.
It's a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe it's not as fucking full on as that ad comes across, but that really doesn't sell it to me.
Yeah, it's rather obnoxious.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't sort just by animation on Netflix.
I've forgotten exactly how the fuck the tag system works for that. I think they still have a fucking anime section.
They do have an anime section. Japanese animation. But not like just
I don't know what they
cartoon.
Call it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just similar to that show, that kind of thing.
I was going to say, you just have to go to BoJack Horseman and click more like this.
Yeah, that's the best bet.
But even then, five things in, you're out of cartoons. But
well, out of ones that actually fucking relate to the thing you're talking about.
It's... Yeah, of clicking around, you get some more cartoons, but Gretzico.
I'm wondering if I should give that a better shot.
I don't like the Netflix series as much as I liked the super shorts.
Yeah. I was having the same trouble, but I wonder if it gets better. I kind of dropped off of it because it didn't give me that same feel, but I wonder if it builds or anything, you know?
Yeah, my guess is the people who found it on Netflix never saw the shorts, and so they don't have that to compare it to, and so they're probably
Yeah, so maybe it just looks better by not comparison. Mm.
Yeah. I've been watching that latest Archer season, which is up.
How's it?
It is very specific in its humor. I mean, it works for me because it's parodying a very short-lived TV program I absolutely loved as a kid. Now, if you fall within that tiny, tiny niche, I don't know
what's the show it is? I've forgotten. I'm way behind on Archer.
I'm just going to get the title right. Tales of the Gold Monkey is what it's parodying.
I've never heard of it.
The entire season.
Okay.
Tales of the Gold Monkey is basically, we saw that the Indiana Jones films did well, so we're going to make a very pulpy TV show. It's, you know, you've seen Tailspin.
Yeah.
Tailspin is another cartoon which is ripping off Tales of the Gold Monkey.
Okay, well, I guess that's a pretty good, line of fucking thinking.
Yes, but, Archer is very much parodying specifically Tales of the Gold Monkey more than it
rather
is.
Rather than being a show that's also kind of pulpy and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's another one of these ones where I assume he's still in a coma.
Reliving fucking TV through dreams. What was that fucking show that all TV shows are that kid's dream?
Some Elsewhere. The last episode of Some Elsewhere.
Yeah. That was it.
And then because of Richard Belzer's character and other crossovers, but mainly because of Richard Belzer's character from that he plays in every show that he's in. Late great Dwayne McDuffie came up with that theory.
It's a solid one and it's fun. Yeah.
But yeah, again, it's like it's fun, but you shouldn't examine these things too closely, as we discovered in.
In Back of Bond
this week.
Yeah. Just enjoy the show. Don't question how it fucking works or how this could be allowed to exist.
Have to start throwing cartoon characters in jail.
A lot of them would fucking end up in jail. Yeah.
A lot of them deserve to be.
Yeah.
On Dynamite the Brain this week, we've got Devilman Crybaby. And then next week, I don't know what we got. It will either be a early release of the autumn preview we've already recorded, but I kind of want to release that a week later. So if we manage to get a recording of Famous Anime Podcast in, it'll be the Famous Anime Podcast.
Can you give me the pitch for Devilman Crybaby? Because I want to listen to the episode, but that also means I'm going to have to watch all of the show, and that is like I'm still holding on. It's like, what if I don't watch it all? There's still more.
Do you like Masaki Yuasa? From Tatami Galaxy and Ping Pong.
And I think so, yeah.
Kyber and The Night is Short, Walk On Girl and Lou Over the Wall. I can't remember who the writer was. The writer does other stuff that I think we like. Yeah, unfortunately we've not had a Masaki Yuasa TV show to do on Let's Go.
Yeah, just some fucking bad timing, I think.
Yeah, except about Crybaby, they dumped it all in one go.
Yeah.
And I think we had too many other things we wanted to watch, as is always the case.
Yeah, sure.
Ichiro Okokuchi is the writer who we know from, I do believe, Lupin the Third Part 5.
Okay, that's enough of a sell, I guess, on its own.
Yes, yeah. He's the head writer on Lupin the Third Part 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I really should finish it, but then it'll be gone. Never to watch again. Yeah, sure.
It's only 10 episodes.
Yeah, I know. So it's an easy enough to get through.
It feels like a modern remix of the original comic.
Like a better version than the other recent one of Cutie Honey, I guess.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's many times better than Cutie Honey, though I believe there are people who think the opposite.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah, I think there's people who don't like the explicit sex in Devilman Crybaby.
It was always just fucking there under the surface. It's just bring out the genitals. Just make it like, yeah, we're not going to hide them or anything. Sure.
Except for the scenes when sometimes people don't have genitals because it's a cartoon. Sometimes they have genitals,
draw them all the time.
Sometimes they don't, I think, depending on who was
animating.
If they're
plot relevant genitals, is what I'm saying. Yeah.
No, they're not always plot relevant. Sometimes they're just there. Sometimes it's
window
like
dressing.
It's
sure,
like Action
okay.
Man down there.
Fair enough.
It won't take you out of it. What might take you out of it is the weird thing of, and we say this on the podcast, is weirdly the dub feels less localized than the subtitles do in places.
Huh.
So there's like there's a scene in a convenience store where in the subtitles they like say, oh, that's $21.10 or something. And then, but in the dub, it'll say something like, that's 21,100 yen.
Oh, okay. So yeah. They don't local. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't even localize the money or anything. Interesting.
Yeah, he was smiling because I'd left the subtitles on because I was like switching between the two to see what they were like. And I was like, that's weird. That is a weird thing to do. But yeah, no, yeah, definitely watch Devilman Crybaby. It's one of the best things this year.
Yeah, yeah.
It may have been the best thing this year until Planet With came along.
Certainly probably the best animated thing coming out. Best looking, I mean.
Yeah, I think so. Or like a TV thing.
Oh, yeah, for TV, I meant. Yeah.
Righty-ho. So, yeah, that's everything. We'll be back here next week with more Let's Go. And then the week after, Nash should be back. I mean, he's back next week, but we're not going to make him watch
like
three or four hours of cartoons as soon as he touched down.
That's sort of against the thing of trying to keep it to 3-ish hours. Yeah.
As soon as he gets sick, he should be watching them on the plane. Righty, we'll be back next week. Goodbye.
Bye.